Morning, Mr. President. How are you today?
I'm just doing fine. Hope you are.
Good, fine. Well, we have a few strikes and a few other things up here.
Well, I had my man last night come in. He's really worried about your dock problem.
Yeah, well, that's tough because it's spread all over the east, the coast, Texas. Jim Reynolds?
Yeah.
He's a good man, Jim. He's a New York boy, you know.
Yeah, I think he's one of the best.
Yeah, very, very good man. I'm here with your friend Ed Weisel.
Good.
And we've been talking about this situation as far as the federal vacancy in Manhattan is concerned. As you know, I'm sure people have been bothering about this, but quite some time ago, or months ago, both Ed and myself submitted from Gus Rosenberg, who's president of the Board of Higher Education here, to Walter Jenkins and the White House and others. I think he's been checked out as far as the FBI is concerned. Everything's fine. He's a fellow of great reputation, not only as a lawyer, but he's done a very good job as head of the Board of Higher Education, which is a non-salary position. He run for Supreme Court judge, was endorsed by all of the bar associations. We know that LaPorte, who is head of the American Bar, is in favor of him, and I know that there's been some question as to his age. Well, that is a certain drawback, but others during the Kennedy administration were appointed even older than Rosenberg. He's a high-class fellow and one who's always been devoted to you, the Democratic Party. And this, as I said, was done long before, put in long before Bob Kennedy was even considered for the Senate. Now, understand that some people are trying to throw the roadblocks up, and the roadblocks have developed only since Kennedy was elected. And I think it'll verify it. We feel very strongly that if he can block this, they're going to claim this as a great victory for Kennedy, that he's going to have all the say down below, and the way they're acting, some of his people, as well as himself, a thing like this happens, he might as well turn the whole organization here over to him in the state of New York. And I think it's a grave concern, I know, to both of us, and as you know, we're here to make sure that we have a kind of an organization that's going to be, number one, loyal to you and to the decent elements in the party. And we certainly need this appointment of a good man. And I can't see how Bob could have any objection to it. It couldn't be on the grounds of ability or anything like that. Maybe some little excuse about him being old, but when he was Attorney General, he passed on a number of them, appointments to the district court, who were even older than Rosenberg. I don't know how he can justify any position based merely on the question of his age. I think we feel very strongly, I put Ed on, Ed, that if this isn't done, these boys are really going to have a great victory and going to really take over. Another one we were concerned about, because the person is from New York, is a fellow named Bill Vanderheuvel, whom we understand the Kennedy people are pushing to be the regional director of the anti-poverty program in this whole area. No one needs to tell you what that would mean in the way of power to dispense all of the aid throughout this area for your program, which is such a good one. Vanderheuvel is one of the close boys to Bobby, and one that they've been pushing. He was very, very active in his campaign, and I think they've resigned down Washington to go to work for him. And we just want to warn you that this is done again. This is going to give them a tremendous power, not only in New York State, but in this whole area. And not pushing anyone in particular, but so they get a good man who will treat the program impartially and do a good job that will bring credit to the administration. So on those 2 points, I think, Mr. President, Ed and I agree and feel quite strongly. And if it's agreeable, you let him talk to you for a minute. All right?
Yeah.
Up front. Hello, Mr. President.
Hi, Eddie. How are you?
Pretty good. I endorse what Bob said.
Yeah. Well, Ed, first, I can't appoint a man 64 years old. Nobody's talked to me about this from the Bob Kennedy side at all. I never heard of him. His people have not recommended anybody. But 4 years ago, after they made a mistake out here with one of Harry Byrd's men, the president called us in, and we all debated about the age limit that they ought to have.
Yeah.
That they thought it was very unwise to start a man off at 65 years old when he could retire at 70, and he'd only have 5 years, and then he'd stay on the pension roll for 15 years at $25,000-$30,000 a year. It just wasn't all right. And most of the older ones, when they got on there, they wouldn't retire anyway. We got some down in our state that up as high as 80 on the circuit court and the district court, and the bar pretty generally frowned upon it. And we agreed we wouldn't appoint anybody over 62. Confidentially, there were other reasons for it, because there were other senators who were above that age who wanted to go on the court. And if we opened the gate, why, after the Virginia appointment, we made the Virginia appointment, it was over 62 before anybody knew about it. It was the early first 6 months of the administration before they established the criteria. Then they got in a fight over Sarah Hughes, and I wasn't in a position, she was my manager, I wanted to appoint her, but I wasn't in a position to force her down because she was over 63 and would soon be 64. That fight went on, the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General and the President himself all told me that they were sorry, that they wanted this outstanding woman. They were looking for a woman that had some trial experience and had been a district court judge, but that they just didn't feel like they could do it. Well, Mr. Rayburn got in the picture, and because of some very unpleasant things happened in the House, they named Sarah Hughes. Now, we believe that those are the only two we ever named, and I have told them all to just to tell my friends that they must not be limited to one man. There must be more than one lawyer that could qualify, and to go back and not to send to us for a study anybody over 62. It seemed to me that 8 years for a lifetime pension was a minimum that ought to be, and in any event, folks like John McClellan and others wanted to be on the bench, I was told, and we would just have a hell of a problem in the House and the Senate with older people. Now, Alex Rose came down the other day, told me about these papers that you left with Walter, and I have reviewed them all, and asked my personnel man to review them, and I find out about what I have said to you. They tell me that Mayor Rosenberg was recommended to the White House for the district judge in the Southern District of Texas. No other recommendations have been received either for or against his nomination other than this group. We haven't heard from Bobby or any of Bobby's crowd and haven't talked to him. We don't know anything about how he would feel. But he said, Rosenberg, you're 64 years old, passed, and therefore on the ground of age is viewed unqualified by the American bar even. He's certainly unqualified according to the administration's requirements. No report has been secured on the evaluation of his qualifications on professional grounds. But there is some doubt as to whether they would be considered sufficiently high to warrant a qualified rating. I should hardly urge you to recommend deferring decision on the nomination of Rosenberg for this vacancy or any other person over 62 years old until you're able to see if in these states other candidates are not available who could can be considered as a comparative candidate and ask that your Attorney General make the recommendations. In the course of this process, consultation with the senators would be normal, because if they refuse to return the blue slip, the fellow dies. Background material concerning these people are attached. John W. Macy. Now, from a practical standpoint, this is something we got to think through. I don't know what the answer to it is at all. I want to be very friendly with Bob Wagner and very cooperative with him and with Alex Rose and with David Dubinsky and certainly with you. I am a practical man, though, and I know that if I send any person for district attorney, for customs collector, for internal revenue collector, or for a judge up there that he doesn't approve of, I'm just laying myself wide open. Now, I'll give you an illustration. I have the Fifth Circuit open in Texas. I'm willing to send Ben Connolly's name up there. He's a great judge. He has integrated everything down there, and everybody's very fond of him, and he's old senator's son, and very, very obligated. I suggested four other people, any one of whom would be satisfactory, John Singleton or Cecil Burney or Johnny Crooker, to the Attorney General. And the Attorney General talks to Yarber about him. Yarber said, no, I want Mr. X. Now, if I send any one of the four, the Judiciary Committee sends a little blue slip and said, will you give us your recommendation of this man? We'll say it's Lyndon Johnson or Eddie Weisel. Yeah. The senator puts that in his desk, and the nomination stays right where it is as long as there's no slip return. So what we've got to do is find out some way where we can get good men that will be agreeable to the president, to the attorney general, to the bar, to you all, and to the senator, because if we don't, they'll just be cut back. And I am talking about not wanting to get defeated by the new senator and have him, if this man not appointed, then he's in and we're all defeated. The best way in the world for me to be defeated is for me to do something that I know 99 senators will support him on, because every one of them support him. He doesn't even have to say he's obnoxious. He doesn't have to say that he doesn't like the color of his eyes. All he has to do is just refuse to return that blue slip, and that committee never acts on it. I remember one time Roosevelt sent a very popular young man up from Georgia, and it's Truman, I guess 49, and Dick Russell couldn't be against him. He had to be for him, but he had not given his consent, and he had recommended two other men. So he couldn't say he was personally obnoxious. So when the committee asked him for his blue slip, he just wrote on the blue slip, said, I was not consulted on this appointment in the orderly Senate-executive relationship, and the committee never would report him, and the man was turned down for nomination. Now, I don't want to give Bobby or any senator that kind of an advantage to just defeat me right in front of the United States Senate when I've got 100 measures pending. Yeah. And I particularly don't want to give it to him on a man that's against my own rule that I fought against and I've refused to. And I incurred the enmity of a number of people in the 4 years, because I'm stronger for the 62 rule than anybody else then.
The Ross Gilpatrick called up my partner, Whitney Seymour, who was president of the American Bar and also of the Association of the Bar in New York, and he said he had been asked to name two judges, one a Republican from Westchester and one a Democrat from New York. And he asked my partner, who is a Republican, to give him two names. Of course, he talked with me about it. I don't know who asked Ross Gilpatrick to do that.
I don't know. I didn't. But I'll tell you, when you participate in a meeting with three or four folks, you talk about the vacancies that exist. A good many people think they're close to the president and close to the senators and close to the various people, and it's a joint responsibility on four or five things. They go out and start to, I've had a dozen people call up and say that I'd like to tell you who I think would make you a very good Secretary of the Treasury. and one of them's a top professor out here. And I said, where'd you get that? Well, we said, we see in the paper where you're looking for.